It's always bothered me that the Episcopal Church doesn't allow the Feast of the Epiphany to be transferred to a Sunday, as they do in many other different traditions. It's supposed to be celebrated exactly on January 6th, which, on the one hand, I understand we need that anchor to end the 12 days of Christmas, but it's such an interesting celebration. And perhaps that's why we have the option of this gospel today that we heard from Matthew, so we don't have to miss out on it. It's the Epiphany gospel during Christmastide. But to be real, it's a strange tale. Matthew tells us that wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and then asked the wicked King Herod, "Where is the child who's been born king of the Judeans?" They're likely a smallish caravan of people. We don't actually know how many of them there were, for sure. Probably more than three, though. And they've arrived, guided not by scripture or a prophecy that they were familiar with, but by a star. We hear that they observed Christ's star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. Now, these visitors, they are outsiders in every possible sense. They're not Jewish. They're not from Palestine. The best guess is that they were from Persia or Babylon. And many of you will remember that Babylon is the great enemy of the Jewish people since their captivity. They are magi, something akin to astrologers or astronomers, or what we might have called scientists of their day, or what others at their time may have just simply dismissed as sorcerers or magicians. Whatever they were, exactly, they were simply not the kind of people anybody would expect to be among the first to recognize the Messiah. And yet, Matthew's gospel places them front and center at the moment of the Epiphany, literally the moment of revelation. And from their story, we learn something wildly important. Epiphany is not just about Jesus being revealed. No. It's about to whom Jesus is revealed. If you've been keeping track so far, it's been revealed to poor shepherds, and now to foreigners. From the moment of his birth, it is clear that the Christ child does not belong to any one people, any one tradition, any one religious system. Jesus, God incarnate, is for everyone. And that's why I've always thought that Epiphany is one of the church's most ecumenical feast days. The Magi, their theological statement. God's light does not respect the boundaries that we as humans are so good at drawing. It doesn't wait for the right credentials or the right theology. It appears in the sky, shining for anyone who is paying attention, especially those whom the insiders might least expect. Now, in this past month, I was part of a Christmas Around the World celebration in my daughter's class. And as part of it, I learned that many homes in Sweden hang a julstjärna, a Christmas star, in their window. I'm sure you've seen stars like this, paper stars, about 7 points on them. And I've started noticing them around in the neighborhoods and in watching Instagram reels. And I've noticed something really beautiful about them. These lighted stars are aligned in such a way so that they are just as much a decoration from the inside as they are from the outside. They're not just for the people in the household, but they're for the street too. Now, these particular stars have changed a bit, but they were adapted from a Moravian Christmas star. The Moravian Church, a Protestant movement that emphasized missionary outreach and ecumenism, they favored love over doctrine. And in the 19th century, these communities crafted illuminated stars, often with 26 points and 3D, to symbolize that star of Bethlehem. And these lights, these stars, weren't just mere decorations. They were theology that they were trying to make visible. It was light that was freely given. It was light that was meant to guide. It was light that was meant to be shared. And what strikes me is how closely this tradition aligns with Matthew's story. Because that star that the Magi saw didn't hover politely over Jerusalem's elite. No, it stops over a stable in Bethlehem. It draws foreign scholars across borders. It unsettles King Herod. It bypasses power and prestige, and leads people instead to a little helpless child. The revelation of God's presence refuses to be contained. And that refusal has always made people uncomfortable. Herod's reaction in the story is really telling. He is frightened. And not just him, but all of Jerusalem with him, all the people in power. His revelation is rarely neutral. When God's light comes in, it exposes. It asks questions about who are the people who hold power, who are the people who are marginalized, and who are the people that are just desperate to try to cling to control. But the Magi, they react quite differently. They see the star. They follow the star. They risk. They pay attention. And when they finally find the baby Jesus, Matthew tells us that they are overwhelmed with joy. And then they knelt down and paid him homage. And after that, then they offer gifts. And then, now this is quiet detail, but it's just as important. They listen to a dream and choose a different road home. That detail matters because an encounter with Christ cannot help but change our direction. The Magi are different as a result of it. People who have seen the light cannot go back the same way they came. And as I was thinking about all of this, I started to realize that as a church, we practice an epiphany-shaped Eucharist. All are welcome to share in communion. You don't need to be baptized. You don't need to be confirmed. LGBTQIA+, you are welcome. All ages and races, you are welcome. Divorced, married, remarried, single, welcome, 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 welcome. You don't have to have the answers or even understand what's happening at that table. Most of us don't. It's a mystery. You do not need to be a professed Christian. Like the Magi, you only need to be willing to come, to receive, and to be open to a revelation. At this table, we trust that God meets people where they are, that bread and wine can be agents of grace, even for those who are unsure of what they believe. We know that Christ is not diminished by a wide welcome, but is actually revealed more fully through it. This meal that we share week after week is not a reward for a correct belief. It is nourishment for life's journey. The Magi remind us that truth-seeking, wherever it is, even outside of the tradition, can lead towards God. It teaches us that holiness is not the property of the insiders. And perhaps most importantly, they serve as a continuous reminder that God is not threatened by questions. God is not threatened by difference. God is not threatened by people who come from places we're unfamiliar with. Along with the Magi, the Yule Starna, the Christmas star hanging in the window, offers us a quiet but a powerful image for our own calling as a church. What would it mean for us to be a church that shines outward as much as we shine inward? A community whose light is visible to anybody driving by, not just comforting those who are already in the building. A people willing to trust that God's revelation is bigger than our categories, broader than our borders, and brighter than our darkest fears. As we transition from this season of Christmas into Epiphany, may our hearts be filled with the knowledge that Christ is always being revealed, especially beyond the boundaries we once thought were fixed.